I find this to be absolutely fascinating. When we read the Bible, we read in there many, many times and in a number of ways in which God supposedly spoke to people. And they heard him. Quite often, it says they heard an audible voice coming from God. In the creation account, God spoke to Adam and to Eve. And he spoke in complete sentences according to the Bible. You don't have to read much further before you read that he spoke to Abraham through a vision, and he spoke to Sarah through an angel, and he spoke to other people in dreams. And that reminds me of last Sunday's sermon. We talked about Joseph and the angels, and we talked about God speaking to Joseph through dreams. And still later in the Old Testament, we read about a voice coming from a burning bush and even from a donkey. Let's get real. It's this kind of stuff in the Bible that skeptics love to hurl in our faces and say, that's ridiculous. But it's also possible that these details were actually literal, because God is God, and God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And remember, the Bible hadn't been written. He had to find some way to talk to us. So is it literal or is it figurative? How do you deal with all that? Best answer I can give you is exercise the gift of faith that God gives, because faith comes from him as a gift. Oh, the skeptics will say, there you go again, you Christians. You always say it's about faith. Bingo! It is about faith. And I want to say to the skeptics, well, you know, you live by faith too. I mean, you have faith that the sun's going to come up every morning. You have faith that history actually happened. It's not just a story. It actually happened. You have faith that when you see something and you can touch something, that it's really there. You have faith that whatever is happening to you at any given moment is real and not some kind of dream. We all live by some level of faith. But God gives a gift of faith to others in measures that are amazing. I believe this to be absolutely true. This is Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, referring to the Old Testament days, the writer of Hebrews said, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. In other words, we don't need burning bushes anymore. We've got Jesus, and we've got the Holy Spirit, and we have his Word. And we have this profound truth in John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is mysterious. That's hard for my finite brain to comprehend. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was both with God, and it was God. And it goes on, it says, he, speaking of Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus is a manifestation of God. That's what it says. And I accept that as the gospel truth. And in John 1:14, he added this. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's one of the greatest miracles we read about in the Bible. That God, the Word, the living God, could become flesh and live among us. We have seen his glory. Listen to that. We have seen his glory. Who's we? Hundreds and thousands of people. Not just John, but hundreds and thousands of people, like the 5,000 that he fed miraculously. They saw him. They heard him. They testify to him. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace. Even Judge Judy on television would have to accept that evidence. All kinds of witnesses. But that was written by a man, John, who had the unspeakable privilege of walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, listening to Jesus, witnessing Jesus' miracles and his life. And boy, did it change John's life. In fact, there were so many eyewitnesses who testified that their lives were changed when Jesus was walking this earth. Listen to me. God is much more than theology. God is real. God is real. And you know what he wants? He wants to have a real relationship with you. And he wants you to have a real relationship with him. He wants to have a relationship with all of his creation that he loves so much, but especially with you. Especially with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And one of the primary ways that he does that is that he speaks to you. That's right. God speaks to you in a variety of ways, but primarily through his Holy Spirit-inspired word, the Bible. He said, "My word is living, even to the point of taking on flesh." That's a mouthful. My word is living, even to the point of taking on flesh. And again, that requires faith on our part. It requires profound faith on our part. And I'm so grateful that God gave me and most of you, if not all of you, that gift of faith that you know what we're talking about. I have absolutely no doubt that God speaks to you in a variety of ways. And I also say this with certainty, whenever God does speak to you, he never, ever contradicts his word. The question, of course, is, can you hear his voice? Can you? Can you hear his voice? There's an old joke that says this. How do you know when a politician is lying? And the answer is, when his lips are moving. That's a huge insult. I'm sure that there are politicians who are legitimate, who are truthful, who are trustworthy, perhaps the majority of them. But the point of that joke is that there are politicians who will change their story at any given minute with any given group of people in order to get what they want and accomplish their goals. By utter contrast, God's message never changes. It is totally trustworthy. It is applicable to all people of all times, and it never changes. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. It is impossible for God to lie. In whatever way he wants to speak to you, let me say that again, in whatever ways he wants to speak to you today, he will never contradict his word. But how do you know that what he is saying to you does not contradict his word? If you don't know his word, bada bing. I'm not going to follow up on that, but you've got the message. Here's two important questions for you. How do you hear him speaking to you in the first place? And number two, how do you know it's him speaking to you and not some imposter? I like what Pastor Brian Smith said. He said, for us to hear God's voice, we must first belong to him. Now, that may seem obvious to most of us here, but for some people, that's not obvious at all. We have to belong to him. Continuing with his quote, he said, second, we have to spend time with God. Are you listening? He said, you have to spend time with God. This can happen through prayer, contemplation, time in the Bible. We begin to hear God's voice over the noise of our world as we give time to these disciplines. Prayer, contemplation, time in the Bible. The Holy Spirit begins speaking to us. We begin to hear God through those around us. Through circumstances, and even our own conscience, end quote. Well, Jesus summed all that up in John 10. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me because they know my voice. Kathy? Let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to listen to the radio without turning it on? Well, have fun with that. I mean, you need to plug it in. You need to put batteries in it, maybe. You need to turn it on, and you need to tune it to the station. It works the same way with God. You need to be powered up, and you need to be on his frequency to hear his voice speaking to you. Now, let me ask you that question again. Have you ever actually heard the radio without turning it on? I have. In my car. Because I never turn the radio off. All I have to do is turn on the ignition and I hear voices. Or music. It works the same way with God, too. First, you must keep the channel open. And then you have to turn on the source of power. That's like starting the engine of the car, okay? And the first thing you hear is his voice because you have kept the station tuned in to hear his voice. And it's so important, brothers and sisters, to keep the power on and keep the power flowing all day long if you want to continue to hear his voice. Now, that second question, how do you know it's God's voice and not some imposter? Well, if you are his sheep, and he is your shepherd, you know his voice. We're taught that sheep always know their master's voice, but they run away from strangers. That's how you know it's his voice, because you have submitted yourself to him as your shepherd. Have you? And you know what? The shepherd's voice is quite likely going to be a gentle voice. It's primarily going to bring you. Satan's voice, on the other hand, is going to stir you up and make you uptight and rattle your nerves. If you are uptight all the time, then perhaps you need to examine whose voice you're listening to. Take that one home with you. Contemplate that. Do you know one of the best ways to nurture a good marriage or any important relationship? Talk to one another. And, most important, listen to one another. Do you know one of the easiest ways to ruin a good marriage or an important relationship? You do all the talking and listen very little. Now let's apply that to our lives with Christ. He wants you to talk with Him. We call that prayer. It's one of the most basic, absolutely necessary components of being His sheep. Talk to Him. But you must not do all the talking. You must not do all the talking. You need to be still. You need to know that He is God. And you need to listen for Him to speak to you. He really, really wants to have that kind of relationship with you. He really does. That wonderful two-way conversation where you know His voice and He knows your voice without a doubt. But you will miss it if it's a one-sided conversation. If all you do is ask Him, pray to Him, tell Him, and you never listen. Or perhaps you don't feel like you are hearing Him speak to you, but you really want to. Then when you do pray, ask Him. Simply ask Him, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. And then do exactly what the Word says. Be still. Be still. It's easier to do as we get older, isn't it, to be still? Now hear this. Hearing an audible voice from God today does not seem to be the standard mode of communication. Because the primary way of His communicating with us today is through His written word, the Bible. You simply must pick up your Bible. This is Christianity 101. You simply must pick up your Bible and open it and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to do His thing. The more you do that, the more the volume and the clarity of the voice of God will penetrate you. You will hear it because you're tuned into His station and you've turned on the power. Very clear signal. Martin Luther said this. He said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs to me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. And that's from the heart of a man who really loved the Word of God and really loved God. Is that you? When you love God that way, you will hear His voice in so many awesome ways that, and you know what it'll be like? It'll be like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, when everything in black and white turned a beautiful color when He speaks to you. You'll see the world so differently. You just won't believe the number of ways that God will speak to you and guide you and comfort you and correct you and more. However, here's a warning. You may not want to hear what He has to say. I just said that sometimes he might correct us. Here's a good example. David knew that his sin with Bathsheba was not God's will, and he did not want to hear about it. He was surprised and he was crushed when Nathan came along and he said, "You are the man." There are probably some of us sitting in this room right here who have done some things in our past that we knew were wrong in God's eyes. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say that this room is full of people who have done things in the past that they knew were wrong in God's eyes. Because you and I are all sinners. We could have written what Paul wrote in Romans 7, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin in me that does it. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Here's the answer: Jesus Christ. That is his primary job. That's why God sent him. To rescue you and me from this sin that overwhelms us. Look at this cross. Look at it. What does it say to you? Does it speak to you? What is its message? The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven sounding like thunder. And it said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And a number of people testified to hearing that thunderous voice. And we also read in the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, that in the last days, which are coming soon, which may have already started, we don't know, in the last days, we will hear his voice like thunder. There it is again. Thunder. There are a number of references in the book of Revelation and in other parts of the Bible where God's voice thundered. And on that day in Jerusalem, when they lifted up that cross on Golgotha, they heard thunder. God spoke. And he could have said, "I condemn you to hell." Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Again, I ask you, look at that cross. Can you hear him speaking to you through that cross? I'm reading from John 12:27, and this is from the lips of Jesus. He said, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. "Father, glorify your name." Then it says a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard, let me read that again. There were many witnesses. The crowd that was there and heard said it had thundered. Others said, oh, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. When this cross speaks, it says, Jesus Christ is your all in all. You're all in all. Do you hear it? Do you understand it? Do you need it? Do you accept that? If you have never truly given your life to Jesus Christ, then today may you hear his voice. If you have truly given your life to Jesus Christ, today may you humble yourself and recommit your life to him as your Lord and your Redeemer, as your Savior, and as your Shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know I prayed about this message for a long time. And I believe that you knew that someone here today needed to hear this. And I pray that your voice will become clear to them, that your Holy Spirit will move in them, and that you will lead them to acknowledge you as their shepherd. With praise and adoration and humility, Lord, we pray in his name. Amen.